Oh, welcome. It's really great to see you. Always a joy. I was really expecting when I came here this morning and we sat in the prayer gathering. By the way, if you're free at 10 o'clock and you want to come and pray, the building's open from 9 o'clock. You can pray around the chairs in here. That's what some people were doing today. Preparing the ground for you to encounter God. So praise God that some people were here early believing that God was going to meet with you today. And we also gathered at 10 o'clock in the room next to the restaurant area. Please feel free to come and join us at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning to pray. And we had some words from the Lord. And one of the words which David shared, which really blessed me, was that Frank saw a tent over Hope Church. And sometimes when I pray, I just pray that the Lord would fill this building. But I had a sense when Frank shared that word that actually this building was wrapped up in something much bigger of God's presence and his glory and his power. And we just want to thank God this morning that he is here and changing lives. The worship team are going to stay and they're just going to play in the background. And we'll just see where things go this morning. But did you know that it's Pentecost Sunday? And so Pentecost Sunday is the time in the church calendar where we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when the church was birthed. And that's in Acts chapter 2. And maybe if you've got your Bible, you could just open Acts chapter 2 and put your thumb in the pages there. It was originally Pentecost, a festival where the Jews celebrated God's provision. And every year, the Jews who were scattered across the known world would come to Jerusalem for this festival. And so on this day, as the disciples of Jesus were gathered together in one place, the whole city of Jerusalem would have been thronging with people who had come to celebrate God's goodness and to worship him at the temple. And so the streets would have been full. There would have been crowds of people celebrating. There would have been hustle and bustle. There would have been noise. And then we see in Acts 2 something remarkable happened. Imagine yourself there. Imagine that you were one of the Jesus followers. And a month or so earlier, Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he was giving his life as the sacrifice for our sins. And the whole city seemed to have turned against him. They'd turned their hosannas into crucify hymns. And they stood in condemnation as Jesus died on the cross. And Peter even denied his Savior three times when he was questioned. Aren't you one of these followers of Jesus from Galilee? No, I never knew him. There was real fear in the hearts of the disciples. But on this day as they gathered, awaiting the promise that Jesus had made, the promise of the Holy Spirit that he would come, that he would be poured out, a gift from the Father. They gathered and I imagine that they were praying and praising God, and this is what the scriptures said happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem because of the Pentecost festival. They were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, this commotion, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, it says, they asked, "But aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Aren't they all from Corby? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language as though they were educated and attended the finest universities? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." It says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? And let me say this to you. When the church of Jesus Christ in this nation experiences that kind of fullness, the world will ask, what does this mean? When they see our lives filled with the Spirit, exhibiting the fruit of His presence in our lives, they'll ask that question, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun and said, ha, they've had too much wine. But then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice. He addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That day, as Peter preached the first gospel message, it records that 3,000 men were added to the church as they surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus. They went from a small number in a room in a house to a church of over 3,000 in one day as the Holy Spirit was poured out. What a logistical nightmare. These people were born again. They were saved. They were given new life. They were given eternal life because of the blood of Jesus. And they were just beginning to understand what all of this meant. But at Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit was poured out, the church was birthed. Let me say this to you today before we jump into some scriptures. I hear people using scriptures from the Old Testament where it says, Lord, rend the heavens and come down, to say, Lord, we ask you for an open heaven. We ask you for an open heaven over our lives, an open heaven over our church. Let me say this to you. In Acts 2, we see the moment when God opened the heavens and the Holy Spirit came down on his church and remained. And so we don't have to beg God to bless us. We don't have to beg God for his presence. We don't have to beg God for an open heaven, because the Lord has poured out his Spirit on all people. Let me say this about the Holy Spirit. Up here on the screen is a little diagram that I found really helpful. We need to understand, I spoke to somebody this week who said, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. So they've become a Christian recently. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. The first thing we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. So he's part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son, the Lord Jesus, is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. But equally God. And how do we know from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is God? Isn't he just the presence of God on earth? Isn't he just some impersonal force, the empowering of God? How do we know that he is God himself? Well, this is how he's described in the pages of scripture. In Hebrews 9, it says that he is eternal, the eternal Spirit. Only God is eternal. That he's active in creation, along with the Father and the Son. That he is all-powerful. Only God is all-powerful. That he is present everywhere. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Only God is present everywhere. That he is all-knowing. Only God is all-knowing. that he can be blasphemed. Only God can be blasphemed. The Holy Spirit is God. And because some people think of God like, sorry, God the Holy Spirit like the Force in Star Wars, we also need to know that he is a person, that we can know him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours forevermore. And so we can know the Holy Spirit as a person. And the Bible says this about him, that the Holy Spirit speaks. Only a person speaks. That he intercedes, that he stands in the gap and makes intercession for us, that he testifies, that he leads, that he commands, that he guides, that he appoints. It says in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit can be lied to, that the Holy Spirit can be insulted, that he can be grieved. So the Holy Spirit is God, but he is also a person. We can know him and we can fellowship with him. And there are a couple of places where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost that we remember today, and the churches right across this world are remembering today. A couple of places where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was prophesied. And so John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And then Jesus, saying something very similar at the beginning of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, says, "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised.'" I love receiving gifts. Do you love receiving gifts? Your Father promised a gift to you, the Holy Spirit. And it says, "You have heard me speak about him, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's think about what baptism means. There's a Greek word for baptism, and it's baptizo. And that's the word from which we get baptism. And so if we're thinking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to be baptized? And that word, that Greek word, baptizo, has a few different meanings. The first of the meanings is to dip in. So imagine you're taking some wool and you're dipping it in dye. The wool goes into the dye, but the dye also goes into the wool. It becomes one with the dye, to dip into. Also, the word baptizo has the meaning of submerging something. So imagine a ship that gets shipwrecked, and the ship, which should be on top of the water, then begins to sink beneath the waves. And the water that the ship was in is now in the ship. And so the Holy Spirit, when he baptizes us, the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere present, comes and fills our lives. We're dipped into him. We're submerged into him. But then there's a third meaning. Baptize also means to saturate. Imagine taking a sponge and putting it in water and squeezing it and then letting it go. And then all of the pores of the sponge just filling up with the water. And you lift it out of the water and it's literally dripping, as all of the water that's in it is coming out of it. And the same idea is there. We are dipped in. The Holy Spirit comes and fills us. We are in him. He is in us. We're submerged, but we're also saturated in him. And so to be baptized means to be submerged, to be saturated in something. If you pickle onions, those onions are baptized into the vinegar. And if you like to go swimming and you swim underwater, you're baptized in that water. There are a few different ways that that word baptized is used in the New Testament. Have a look at this. So in Mark's Gospel, it talks about a baptism of suffering. That we can be baptized into suffering. That we can be consumed by, saturated by, and overwhelmed by suffering. talks about baptism in water, and in a few weeks' time we have the great privilege of baptizing some new believers in water, actually in a river, so that will be one to look forward to. In 1 Corinthians 12, it also talks about being baptized into the body of Christ, baptized into his church. We become one with the body of Christ when we become a Christian. We're part of the family of God. And then what we're talking about today, baptism in the Holy Spirit. When I was a brand new Christian, 18 years old, I'd just come to faith. Everything was brand new for me. So I was aware of God, but I didn't follow him. I didn't really know much about Jesus. I didn't know why he died on the cross. I didn't really understand everything there was to know about Christianity, apart from I had a hunger in my heart. And as my friend invited me to church, I gave my life to the Lord after a few months. And then somebody put a book in my hand. It was actually the lady who would later become my sister-in-law. And she gave me a book where, in this book, the person was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was actually Chasing the Dragon. Do you know that book, anyone? And so the lady in the book was Jackie Pullinger. And she was so busy doing ministry to the triads and the gang members in Hong Kong that she didn't have time to pray. And as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she became able to pray in this heavenly language, what some people call praying in tongues. And so on the bus and in the car, she would just pray in tongues, and she found that her inner man, her spiritual person, was becoming stronger. And so when she began to share the gospel, she noticed that more people became Christians. And when she was helping people to come off drug addiction, she would pray for them in this heavenly language, and they would come off without the normal side effects of those drugs. And I was reading this book and I was thinking, wow, I want that. I want to be able to pray in this heavenly language. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want that. And I was then given a book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and 9 o'clock in the morning. And all of these books were about the Holy Spirit. And I know what Maggie's sister was trying to do, introduce me to the person of the Holy Spirit. But my heart became hungry, because I thought, I've got a version of Christianity. I believe in Jesus and I'm following him. And I want to get to know him more, but I know that there's more to my experience of God than I've currently experienced. I want more of him in my life, and I want to love him with more love and be loved by him with more love. And then I read in the Bible that he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I want that. And then I saw, as I read through the Bible for the first time, that there were gifts of the Spirit, and they were given by the Holy Spirit to individual Christians to serve the church. And I was like, I want that. I want those gifts in my life. And then as I spoke about these books to Jean, Maggie's sister, I said, how do I get this stuff that I'm reading about in the Bible? And she says, pray that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit. And so I began to pray. I began to ask God for the gift of praying in other languages. And for months and months, I prayed and nothing happened. I was like, God, please, I know that if you give me this gift of tongues, I'll just know that you're real. My theology wasn't fully formed at that time. And I was like saying, Lord, if you give me this gift, I'll do this for you. I did that with my driving test as well, by the way. I said, Lord, if you help me pass my driving test, I'll give lots of people lifts. Don't take me up on that. You can if you want. But I was just so desperate for God. My heart was so hungry for him. And I remember on a number of occasions with some of the young people in our youth group at the time, we would just be praying together and we'd be saying, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, and all of us were asking for this gift of tongues. And so we were saying, Lord, would you just release us in this amazing gift, this supernatural gift? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could experience what these people in other parts of the world are experiencing in our church today? And then our youth leader, a lady called Janet, now Janet Jones, then Janet Miles. She's currently in Gretton, still full of Jesus. She doesn't look a day older than when I knew her at that time. And she did a little Bible study with us in her house, and she was sure that some people in the room were ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with him. And so she took maybe 3 people next door, and I wasn't one of them. And I remember feeling, but I want him so badly. I just want to be filled with Him, and I want to be released in these spiritual gifts. And I remember going home that night, and I was so desperate, and I just cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if you want to fill me up, my heart is just so ready. And then the next day, I remember just sitting in my room. I had a keyboard, and I was playing the keyboard, and I just began to repent of some things that came to mind. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't think I've ever said sorry for the way that I used to treat my dad. I had such a bad attitude to him when I was a teenager. I'm so sorry, Lord. And Lord, I'm so proud. I keep reacting to people in pride and arrogance. Lord, I don't want to be that person. I just want to be humble like you. And I want to love people like you love them. And I just was praying repentance prayers. And my heart was becoming prepared. And I opened the scriptures and I began to read some of the scriptures. And my heart just believed. And then I prayed and said, Lord, if this is the moment, and it did feel like this was going to be the moment, I prayed. And all I remember feeling is that my whole life was changed in a moment as the Holy Spirit was poured out in a measure that I've never experienced before. And I was baptized. Let's say that I was dipped in, that I was submerged in, that I was saturated in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I've never felt as loved as in that moment, as God's love just filled my life. And this incredible peace just overwhelmed me. And I began to laugh because there was joy. And then I began to cry, but not because I was sad, and tears came. And then I began to laugh again, and then I began to cry again, and then I began to laugh again, and then I ran down and I found my dog and I laid my hands on my dog and prayed for him in this new language that God had given me. And I just want to say to you all today, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, He dwells in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a pilot light in my boiler at home. It's always burning. But there are moments when we put the heating up and it goes. And for some people here today, you have the pilot light of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's there. You can't be a Christian apart from His presence in your life. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But there's more. And part of that more will be a life surrendered to Him as you bring your heart before Him and you say, Lord, I don't want all of you. I want you to have all of me. I surrender. I give myself to you. I'm not adding you onto my life. I'm asking you to be Lord of my life. And it's interesting as you look through the scriptures how this experience is described. It's helpful. So I'm just going to show you some scriptures up here. So in the passage that we read in Acts 2, it says, tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. And it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just look at the language of some of these statements. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 says the same. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. You don't say that something is filled if its constant state is fullness. So for instance, you would never say the sea is being filled because the sea is full. But you would say about your sink that it is being filled because its constant state isn't fullness. And so when we pray and ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit, it's a very scriptural prayer. And even though we have everything that He wants us to do, yet we don't experience the fullness that God has for us. And so to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a great prayer to pray. And then in Acts 8, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria, people who weren't Jews, this is the first time it happened, that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and they sent John to Samaria because they wanted to check out that this was legit. They wanted to make sure it's kosher. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now notice that these were already believers. These people already believed, they were Christians, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 9 it says, Ananias went to the house where Saul was after he had met with Jesus on the Damascus road. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, when Peter was preaching that sermon to the Gentiles, the people who weren't Jews, and he had to be really convinced by God that this was his will, and so God sent him a really powerful vision. And so he went and he preached. And it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of being baptized with water, for they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And in Acts 19, Apollos was at Corinth. Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at a place called Ephesus, and there he found some disciples who, although they were born again, hadn't been fully educated in the ways of the Lord. And so Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul said, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing that, they were baptized. They fully understood the gospel and were baptized. And when they were baptized, Paul placed his hands on them, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in tongues and they prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. And then in Ephesians 5, a passage that many of you know well, it says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul makes that contrast, because you've often heard the phrase to be under the influence of alcohol, haven't you? He's basically saying, listen, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so just to summarize some of the language that we've just read, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is described as a promise, as the gift. It's described as being filled, that the Spirit will come upon us or fall upon us, that the Holy Spirit is poured out, and then finally that we receive the Holy Spirit. And then just quickly, the fruit, the outworking of being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what he does in our lives. In Galatians, it talks about him producing fruit so that we become more like Jesus. So we become more loving and experience more joy and more peace and more patience and more kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control as he fills our lives. And we have greater boldness to witness. He gives us power to share Jesus with others. When he fills our lives, spiritual gifts get released, and all of those passages that we read there, often accompanying a move of God and being filled with the Spirit, is that some people will prophesy, some people will speak in tongues, other people have boldness, but it seems as though spiritual gifts are released when people are filled with the Spirit. And then supernatural love, to be loved by the Father. The Holy Spirit takes the love of the Father and pours that love into our hearts. I have never been as loved as since I've been a Christian. I've never understood what it is to be loved until I knew Jesus. And I experienced His love in a way that I've never experienced it before when the Holy Spirit was poured out in my life. And then interestingly, the Holy Spirit causes us to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. So everything that He began to do and to teach, He does through us in this age. We become His body on earth. So all of the signs and the wonders and the miracle, all the kindnesses, all those words of wisdom, all of those major breakthroughs, all of those people getting set free from lifestyles which were damaging, even hate-filled, and set free into the fullness that God had for them. That was Jesus' ministry. That's still Jesus' ministry through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So He continues the ministry of Jesus in our lives. And so I don't know if you're hungry this morning, whether you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to pray and say to God, I want to be filled afresh today with the Holy Spirit. Or you've never experienced what I'm describing to you today, and for the very first time you want to say to God, fill me with Your Spirit. Baptize me in Your Spirit. Consume me, overwhelm me, saturate me, fill my life full of Your presence. And you want to pray that prayer for the first time. I want to say to you today, the Father is here and He wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So how are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? The first thing is, listen, if you're not a Christian here today, or you're not sure that you're a Christian today, this isn't for you yet. But I want you to meet Jesus because He is amazing. And there are numerous people in this room today who have met with Him and their lives have been transformed. Their sins have been forgiven. Their past has been, that the sin in their past and the stain of that sin on their past has been washed away. And the things that they've been involved in the past, maybe addictions, maybe sexual things that have happened in the past, that they have been released from the power of those things and set free into a life that can only be described as fullness and freedom. Jesus does that. If you don't know Jesus today, you can know Him. So in May, on Pentecost Sunday in 1994, I prayed to ask Jesus to come into my life and to be the Lord of my life. And if you haven't done that, why don't you do that today? Pentecost Sunday, 2019. And there'll be an opportunity at the end, if God is really stirring your heart and you're saying, yes, I want to become a Christian and I want Jesus to be a much bigger part of my life, I want Him to be the Lord of my life, then there'll be an invitation at the end. Maybe you could just make your way to the front. There'll be some people here who are just lovely and they'll make it safe for you. You won't have to worry that you won't know the right things to say or the right things to do. They'll lead you through it, but you can come and you can meet with Jesus. So the first thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is you need to be born again. You need to be a Christian. The second is you need to desire to be filled. And it's okay this morning if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm not sure about this stuff, I'm not sure this is for me. That's fine. But there are others in the room and I can guarantee that in your heart it's just going, I want this. I want Him in my life. I want the fullness of God and I want to live with Him filling my life every single day. There's a desire to be filled. And let me say this about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and this is something we don't always understand. That He is the Holy Spirit. And so if we want to be filled by Him, it's more than just an experience. It's more than the warm fuzzies. We love that. You know, when we worship and pray and we sense His presence, we love that. But actually it's more than that. Because today, if you're asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what you're saying is, I want You to purge me of every contamination, every sin. I want You to purify my life. I'm not going to live in compromise anymore. And so if you are serious about living a life devoted to Jesus, you can ask him to fill your life and he will help you to live a clean life, a pure life, a life set apart for the glory of God. But if you're not serious about living your life for Jesus, maybe this isn't for you. He wants all of you. He is the Holy Spirit. And he wants to make you more like Jesus. And then what do? We ask. In Luke 11, Jesus' words, he says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" You wouldn't do that, would you? "Or if your son or your child asks for an egg, you would give him a scorpion." Don't be silly. Of course you wouldn't do that. He goes on to say, "If you then, even though you're evil, even though your temperament isn't always towards godliness, if you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Father is poised this morning, ready to pour out a blessing and to fill your life with the Holy Spirit if you ask him. And then the final thing to do is to receive. When somebody gives us a gift, we don't describe the gift. We don't beg for the gift. We don't say, "Oh, please give me the gift." We receive the gift. I'm just going to wait. I feel like I filled the air with lots of words, but he's here. I feel his presence. I'm just convinced this morning that some people are going to powerfully encounter God as he fills their lives with the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to wait. Just ask that the Holy Spirit comes and fills this room and fills our lives. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome. Reveal your glory in this place. Father, the weightiness, your glorious presence. Spend a moment examining our hearts, and it might be that this is a moment, a holy moment, when you just want to bring before the Lord the sin, the compromise, anything that could be a blockage right now. Just bring it before the Lord in repentance and just say sorry. Turn away from that stuff. Turn back to God with all of your heart. He will help you. who loves you, who has promised the Holy Spirit and gives him to you as a gift. Ask him to fill your life now. Ask him to fill you with his presence, with his power, with his love, with his life, with his joy, with the Holy Spirit. Ask. Don't work yourself up. It's not about your effort. It's not about using the right words. It's not about formulas. He's a person, and you're inviting a person to come and fill your life. And then just receive. Just, it might even help to stand in a posture of receiving. How would you receive a gift? Just allow the Lord to pour the Spirit into your heart. The Father of heavenly lights who gives good gifts to his children. Just receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Bubbling up from within you, just give him your lips and just see what happens. Just begin to praise the Lord and offer him your lips. Going to continue to worship. The guys are going to just lead us in some songs, and I would just ask you to focus the gaze of your heart on the Lord. And if there's anything that he brings to mind that you just need to bring before Jesus, before the foot of the cross for forgiveness, just do that now and just ask him, the Father who loves you, just to fill your life. Lord, I pray that right across this room, Lord God, you will release spiritual gifts, Father. Father, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of wisdom, the gift of discernment, Lord God. Father, right across this room right now, Lord God, would you just release spiritual gifts, Lord God. But you felt stationary for so long. I just see him cutting chains around people's ankles. Father, we just declare every chain broken in Jesus' name. Every hindrance, Lord God, to moving forward, we break them in Jesus' name, Father. Through repentance, Father, Lord God, we thank you, Father, that you have promised fullness of life for every child of yours. And so, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that as the Holy Spirit fills hearts and fills lives in this place today, Lord God, that people will move into the fullness, Lord God. It doesn't mean that there won't be ups and downs and problems and they'll still live in this world, Lord God, but they will be filled with you, with your life, with your power, Father, with your presence, with your peace, with your joy, with your love, Lord God, with you, Lord God. Thank you, Father.
This is such a tender moment, isn't it? I think God, through the Holy Spirit, has been doing a real work in our lives this morning. We thank Pastor Damien for his message this morning, for the clarity of his message, the challenge of the message that God laid upon his heart. If it would be helpful for you to come to the front here for people to pray with you, then the opportunity is yours. Sadly, our service is coming to an end. The children need to be collected from their groups, so parents could begin quietly to make their ways to pick up their children. But we ask that you just stay in this atmosphere of the presence of God, His Holy Spirit. We ask you to stay here, to engage in prayer, praying for yourselves, praying for other people. But let's continue to experience God as we have to go through the practicalities of bringing to our service to a conclusion. But don't rush away. Don't rush away. Stay in this atmosphere. Continue to do business with God. Don't allow Satan to rob you of a precious gift that God wants to give you today. Don't allow that to happen. So stay in the presence of God. We're in no rush to go away from this place. This is such a sacred, holy ground at the moment, and God is doing business with his people. So let's just continue in our worship. And as you feel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, respond this morning. And if it would be helpful for you to come forward for prayer, then please respond in that way. If you have to leave, then please do so quietly so as not to disturb the atmosphere in this place at this moment. May you have a blessed week. May you have a powerful week. May you encounter God in a dramatic way this week. May you lead someone to Christ this week through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Continue to worship. Thank you.
Shame is undone. experience the glory.